Dr. Adam Androlia from Concord Orthopedics, sports medicine. Just seemed appropriate, Adam. Me and my arrow. I mean, come on.
I know.
An accomplished archer. I would give you more props than that, but you would probably say no. But to the point, didn't you, when you were starting out, didn't you work at some place called Arrowhead?
That's actually where I went to summer camp to be actually able to learn archery. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's like, oh, my God. He went to a place called Arrowhead. Of course he's an accomplished archer. You still into archery?
Or? Yeah. Here or there. Not as much as I used to be, obviously.
Well, yeah. 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 Family gets in the way. Work gets in the way. That work thing.
I know, right?
Before we talk a little bit about sports medicine, you were telling me off air, you were, speaking of archery, you were just in China?
Yes.
Tell me about the Chinese archers.
Oh, it's they're very cool. They're actually shooting the same bows and stuff that they were shooting back in the 1200s. Yeah, and it was
so we're looking at compounds and recurves and fiberglass, and they're shooting like stuff made from a branch that they cut.
Yeah, bamboo, horse sinew for string, a release aid that's made of bone. It's pretty impressive, these guys. And
why haven't they changed?
It's part of their like national festival that they do. Okay. It's like a representation of their history.
And they're pretty good at it, right?
Just a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, just a little.
Now, how far did you say they were hitting stuff?
They were the men were competing at 75 meters,
which is like English.
About 80 yards.
80 yards. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and they were shooting at a target that was only 18 inches high off the ground.
Whew.
Yeah, so a foot and a half. It was impressive.
Nailing it.
Yeah, and then the even crazier part was the judges were standing directly to the side of the target.
Oh, my God.
And they would mark how many of the little things that they hit.
That says confidence.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
The crazier part was, like, the kids that were shooting at the shorter distances, they would just sit down and the adults would shoot the arrows, like, over the kids. So that when the adults were done, the kid would stand up and then shoot at his distance and then sit back down.
I take it there are not a lot of liability attorneys floating around in China.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah,
here's my card.
Yeah, I was sitting there like shaking, like, oh my God, what's going on here? My wife's like, they have to do this. This is their what they do. It's like they don't have to worry. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
See, we always took people we didn't like when we were playing jarts in the yard. Stand next to the circle.
Yeah. You'll be right there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Mm-hmm. And no injuries, no nothing. Just life goes on.
Yeah, life goes on. Yeah.
Different, isn't it?
Just a little. Just a little.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Were there a lot of people involved in this festival?
This was like a state festival, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they,
So each state has kids like this?
Yeah, and adults like this, and they have a competition around the same time of year.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
Could you do it? Go out and cut a branch and you know, make your own...
It was really interesting. I was talking to a few people, and they said they have guest people to come and shoot in these competitions, and it really sparked my interest.
Did you try?
Yeah.
And?
It was awesome.
Did you hit anything?
Kind of. It wasn't my
greatest.
Okay,
we're not going to dwell on that.
Yeah,
Adam.
But
okay.
But it was a lot of fun. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
But 80 yards. That's an impressive shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And their arrows are interesting. They have a little plastic tip on the end because you're aiming at something on the ground.
Yeah.
So there's a little semicircle in front of the target. If it strikes the ground and then bounces and hits it, but it's only 4 feet. Mm-hmm. It can actually jump up and hit and count.
That counts?
That counts.
Wow.
But the idea, it's weird because the targets are on the ground. So they have to have like a little bit of there's a little bit of play. I mean, 4 feet on the ground, shooting at 80 yards, that's a degree or two.
And,
yeah,
okay,
right.
Yeah, it's not that much.
It's not that far off.
For those who... Hey, we're doing archery with Adam this morning. for those who aren't into archery, the compound bows that people use for deer hunting, typically we've got one pin, three pins.
Yep.
So we're doing maybe a 15-yard pin, a 30-yard pin, and a 40-yard pin. Okay. Mm-hmm. These guys had no pins, I assume.
Zero. It's all hand.
So is it holdover? I mean, how do they...
They aim off their knuckles.
Wow.
That's the way they sight in. And then it's interesting because what they'll do is they'll find...
So knuckles...
Yeah, they'll see it on the side of the bow.
Yeah.
And they'll aim. And then wherever they hit the target, you actually see them not like make a little notch on their skin with a pen.
Wow.
And that's where they shoot from.
Ho, ho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
The coolest part about it was you could see who the quote-unquote grandmasters were of all this because... Mm-hmm. On their traditional hats, they'd have chevrons for how many tournaments they had won. There were people you'd look at and you just see these chevrons going down and you'd go, okay.
Wow.
Like this person's...
Not challenging
yeah,
you?
Yeah, got it. This is amazing to see these people.
Wow. Yeah. Well attended? I mean, a lot of people go to this?
Yes. Yeah, very well attended. Yeah.
So it makes what we do around here look kind of bush league, right?
Well, the prizes are actually quite substantial.
Oh, they are.
If you win, you get a brand new Land Cruiser.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah, and that's for all three of their sports, meaning archery, horse racing, and wrestling.
So I'm assuming this is state sponsored.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So is this a new venue for you? Something you're gonna start checking out?
Maybe just for fun, a little bit here or there, but it was really interesting to talk to those guys and gals about what's involved and who, because we all have that little, we had that one person that we love that makes strings perfectly. Mm-hmm. We have the one person that makes the bows perfectly, yeah, one person yeah. makes the arrows perfectly, and getting a little bit of that of, oh yeah, there's only one guy you go to. Like, there's one guy that makes bows. Like, no one buys anything but unless it comes from this guy.
Wow.
And it's like, arrows, you need this particular wood from this particular forest.
Right.
And they had all their little things that they did, and that was the coolest part.
So, just out of curiosity, is your significant other into archery?
No.
Or does she just want to go shopping?
Probably more the latter.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if she was into it as you were.
No, but this has been on my bucket list to see this tournament probably since I... 15, 16, 17.
Oh, so you nice. Knew all about this?
Oh, yeah, I knew about this for a long period of time because I shot with these computer cut, like aluminum alloy, carbon fiber, like everything you can think of with modern space age technology.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to hear about these people that were shooting with bows and technology that has been around since the 1200s,
yeah.
I was like, I have to see this.
And so, and using their hand as technology.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Doing the knuckle thing.
Yeah,
wow.
Doing the knuckle thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Would you go back?
To see the tournament again, yeah.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we'll be out with Adam today as he's cutting a poplar. That's kind of cool. I just find it fascinating. You know, hey, what'd you do on your vacation? Okay, check out. I went to...
Let me tell you what
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, really? Wow. Did you at least get to the Great Wall?
Yes.
Is that as impressive as it looks?
Very much so.
Is it?
Yeah.
How tall is it?
It follows the mountain ridge where we went. So, I mean, you're talking certain parts of it are like 15 feet
mm-hmm. okay.
high. It's pretty decently high. Like
enough to keep intruders out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously to keep them out. And it's where it's very strategic where they put everything. And
well, you got the wall, and then you got these guys that can shoot. You know, squirrels at 80 yards, you know, it's like, of course, I'm not going to mess with these guys. We'll stay over here. Yeah. So anyway, cool. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
So we got scrubs today. What are we doing today?
Today we're doing ultrasound guided injections and diagnostics in the morning and then the acute injury clinic in the afternoon.
Ooh, nice. Is that a normal day?
Normal Monday.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you do your bookings? Mm-hmm. You book accordingly like that?
Yep.
Wow. This time of year. As we're going to be heading back into fall, mm-hmm. sports medicine. I mean, we're talking football, we're talking cross country. People want to get ready for skiing. They start doing preseason stuff. Does your business like drop down? Because don't mess with me now. We're heading into season. I'll do it after the season.
No, there are a few people that come in that are proactive, particularly the skiers. I see a lot of proactive skiers that come in that are starting to do a lot of leg work and ab work.
There's not enough. There's enough time for rehab.
Oh, from now until. Normally we open probably first week in December.
I was going to say mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, yeah. Depending on the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 3 months to get ready. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the procedure is that they're doing mm-hmm. and what the PT is after that,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay.
Yeah. For skiing for sure. It's always funny because you can always tell when August comes around. That's always our big joke in
that's
sports
what I was
medicine.
Wondering.
You're like, oh, starting to see a little bit more of cross country, starting to see a little bit more of football. You're like, oh, it's August. All right.
It's August. Two weeks in. Everybody's coming off. Now, you kids work hard this summer, staying in shape. Sure. Yeah, sure, coach. And then, you know, first couple of weeks, they're dropping like flies because, okay, maybe I didn't work as hard as I thought of.
And the first hard frost when the golf course is shut down, then's when the golfers come in. So you'll see October. Then they start scheduling the knees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Because I'll play through my pain through September because it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So everybody else has calendars with pumpkins. These guys have golfers coming in, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's that month. There you go. Mm-hmm. Wow. How's the walk-in clinic doing?
It's doing well. Yeah. Lots and lots of people coming in.
Anything in particular this summer? Or is it just the normal stuff?
It's the normal stuff, but you can tell the change of the season. That's what it is. So, like, fall, you get more of your sports people that get, like, injured on the field, things like that. As soon as the ski resort's opened, it's ski-related injuries. You can just kind of predict what's going to be coming in based off the season.
Now, we've talked about this before, but you're not a cutter.
No, I don't operate.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
No.
he doesn't operate. I just cutter. Why? Why did you make that decision to not be the guy that does the procedure and fixes stuff? Why did you go the other route?
Different perspective in sports medicine, really. That's all it was. That was something I wanted to look at, kind of athlete head-to-toe perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's you have somebody who's an athlete that is an endurance runner. There are certain antibiotics you don't want to be on because of potential tendon issues. That's something particularly my fellowship I did a lot of training with, and making sure my athletes were healthy from head to toe, kind of the Concord Orthopedics. So things have really solidified into the musculoskeletal system. I'm not doing as much of that or recommending much of those sort of treatment plans.
I want to see you coming in to see me as opposed to Karen or Sean.
Because
they do procedures.
It's true, but I mean, that's the beauty of why I joined Concord Orthopedics. No one does surgery inappropriately where we are. Everything is, we maximize non-operative treatment before we go anywhere in terms of doing operative care.
Well, and I think that's, we had Dr. Nagel in last week. Okay, again, doesn't do procedures, but he's pain meds, and he is so into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy knows all about pain because he's been a Buffalo Bills supporter since 69. So the guy's been living with pain for years. No, and he's a season ticket holder. Yeah. Like, really? Are you kidding me? But, I mean, I think that aspect of Concord Ortho is glossed over, that you have somebody that doesn't do procedures, just pain meds. You're doing sports medicine, not doing operations. It's like, wow. So there is a different perspective. It's not just a bunch of people go, yep, need ACL, come on in. Oh, yep, I see the rotator cuff, come on in.
Right, it's not just the knee, it's the whole patient.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And there's stuff like that where, I mean, that's what the acute injury clinic's about. You come in and you rupture your ACL and you see me, I'm the guy that's going to order your MRI and then refer you to the right surgeon in the office to make sure everything's okay. It's not like we're going to hold on to people and just say, we can rehab through this, but you have to take certain things into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're doing certain things in a certain part of a sport. There's 2 weeks later, 2 weeks left in the season. If you're not really putting someone at risk, there are ways to do things to support the patient. And then 2 weeks afterward, you go, look, now we need to be aggressive in treatment plan.
Hmm.
You've completed your season. That's more on the rarity. That's like the 10%. That's not the majority of patients. Yeah. Sometimes there are injuries that are big enough that aren't operative that it still pulls you from play.
Somebody asked, and I find this fascinating, they asked me this question, and somehow I think they thought it's like through osmosis because I talk to the people at Concord Orthopedics, so I know stuff. No, man. I play doctor. I got no idea in the real world.
Peter, come here, my ankle.
Yeah,
take a look at this.
No,
what do you think?
It was close. It was close. It was shoulder. They said, when I rotate my shoulder, click, 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 what is it? I'm going, how the hell do I know? I said, fine. Next time I see one of the doctors at Concord Orthopedics, when they rotate their shoulder and it just goes click, 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 what could that be? And obviously it's not a diagnosis that you're going to give with 100%. I get that.
No, but I mean, that's so the family medicine residents come and visit us from across the street from Concord Hospital, and I always try and get them into a rhythm with orthopedic or sports medicine problems. It's how old is the patient? Was this related to an injury? Was this not related to an injury?
Yep.
Is it something where it's just a sound, or is there pain affiliated with it? So going down that...
I'm gathering there was no pain and there was no trauma involved.
So you...
Could be age-related.
Could be age-related. I mean, snapping shoulder is technically the diagnosis. If you have something that's like snapping in there, that could be a multitude of different things. Maybe a small labral tear. If it's not giving you any pain, depending on your age, you can live with it. If it's a bicep tendon that's kind of going in and out of the groove, could be painful. But if it's not, it could be a moving biceps tendon.
Can you just ignore that?
Certain ones you can. Yeah.
I mean, if it's not hurting me and all I do is the... I hear the click, click. You know, it's like a party thing. Hey, hold my beer. Check this.
Hey.
I mean, I have a labral tear in my right shoulder, and it's one of those things where it wasn't traumatic. Like, I didn't dislocate my shoulder. Yeah. And it's one of the things that I don't have pain with it, but every once in a while it may make a funny sound. And I go, you know, when you look at the data about repairing something like that.
That's what I was going to say.
There's nothing for my advantage. I'm not a pipe fitter. I'm not lifting my hands over my head trying to support something that's 150 pounds
while using
a wrench. Mm-hmm. That's very different than someone that's doing like a low impact job to themselves. So that's taking perspective of the patient too.
But let me ask. Archery is one of your pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a good draw weight, doesn't that impact on the shoulder?
A little bit. Yeah, it's probably related to that. If you calculated out, I've probably sent somewhere between 300 and 400,000 arrows downrange in my lifetime.
Okay.
So, I mean, I definitely have wear and tear relative to my right shoulder.
Why is it not beneficial to you to have that tear repaired?
I never have a sense that it's unstable. I've never dislocated. I don't have pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to do my entire life. But when you do my like dynamic testing to tell if I have one, I'm positive. But it never really affects me.
Hmm.
So for my age group, what I do for my life, my activities, I leave it alone.
Yeah. All right. Now, if I had a newspaper and I handed it to you and you grabbed it and it tore, it tore the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To me, that means that paper is predisposed now to having another tear when you handle it because it's already started.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you now be a candidate for a further tear in that without repairing it?
There's a potential. Okay. There are other structures involved. The labrum is one of those things where it's a little tricky. There've been some changes in thought with that over the last decade or two in terms of slap tears are a big thing. So SLAP, superior labral anterior posterior tear, so SLAP. And the idea was that was something very common in pitchers to see. And so they say, oh, well, you got a slap tear. Let's go in there and repair everything. And they get a capsular tightening afterward, and you're stiff. And then now all of a sudden you can't throw as well.
Yeah.
You went, well, this guy may have had a little bit of soreness. It wasn't unstable. He was able to do things really well.
You're right.
Yeah, so there were certain – there's things are going back and forth. I mean, if you're under 20 and you dislocate your shoulder – the likelihood that you're going to dislocate again is in the 94.5+ mentality.
Right.
That's something that unless you're part of the lucky 5% that doesn't do it again, you're probably going to get operated on. That's something that I'm willing to put money on that unfortunately you're going to need your shoulder repaired. So it depends on age group. It's because if you're over the age of, I want to say like 40, 45, and you dislocate your shoulder, you're more likely to tear your rotator cuff tendons.
Makes sense.
So then you go, okay, well, now we need to evaluate and make sure that the tendons are okay.
Sure.
But the labrum, you go, don't worry about it so much.
All right, so let's assume for the sake of argument, well, you're just barely over 20. shut up, Adam. Work with me.
35. Hypothetical. I'm 35 next month. I get this all the time. Am I old enough to do this? Yeah.
They were going to take you in to repair the tear in the labrum. You a good patient or a bad patient?
Oh, me? I'm a great patient when it comes to rehab and stuff.
Are you
like
really?
That's because that's my competitive nature with shooting.
Okay.
Like if I want to get back to being at my top. Like, yeah. I have to follow what the instructions are.
Okay.
Otherwise, I know I'm going to come back and it's not going to be functioning the way I want it to. And I'm just going to be disappointed.
Oh, see, no, that's good. So, yeah. So now I've got a benchmark. There's you, and then there's Doug Moran. So that's good. I wouldn't want to be Doug's doctor. I just, you know, love Dr. Moran. Could hear him opine on just about anything. I mean, he's just a wonderful guy. But he looks like he'd be, what are you doing? Excuse me. No, that's not the procedure we use. I can just see Doug, and I'm like, okay. So now we've got Adam over here and Doug over here. I like that. So where do you have to go today to do your work?
In Concord.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, Adam, as always, really, thanks for the travelogue.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. Great seeing you, and have a great day. We'll look forward to getting you back.
Right, thanks.
Dr. Adam Androlia from Concord Orthopedics, taking a break. Back with more.